produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Just for a little while, I want to use for a subject. Guess who's coming to dinner? Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, guess who's coming to dinner?" For all of those of you who are not movie buffs or were not born after 1967, and for those of you who did not grow up with parents and uncles and aunts and grandparents that love classic movies, the title seems unfamiliar to you. But for all of y'all who either grew up in the age, went to see the movie itself, or actually grew up with parents and those who wanted you to be exposed to classic movies, this subject is taken from a movie. 1967, this movie came out starring Spencer Tracy, Sidney Poitier, and Katharine Hepburn. The movie was based upon the story of a black man who gets engaged to a white woman. And the thing is that her parents are supposed to be liberal-minded. His parents, black parents, come from a background of where they have seen racial discrimination. And so what happens in the movie is that Sidney Poitier's character gets engaged to his white female counterpart. However, when she brings him over to the house to meet mom and dad, there arouses some rumbling, because mother and father realize they aren't as liberal-minded as they thought. They are surprised to find out that maybe they aren't as changed as they thought they were, because of the fact that this man and his presence makes them come to grips with their own reality. And so, is the premise of the movie. As they grip through, and his mother and his father also, they come together to try and work out how they feel about having this new guest for dinner. About having a guest that they are shocked to see, who comes in and shakes up their world. And such is the case on today that can be said for this text on today. That Jesus comes in and shakes up dinner. The disciples were not expecting him to show up. They were not expecting to have resurrected Jesus show up. Got to understand something. Luke's gospel, the disciples have not even seen Jesus yet, save one of them. Simon is the only one who has seen Jesus alive. The rest of the 11 have not seen Jesus alive and well. And so for them, they were in the midst, my brothers and my sisters. And I know that it's evening time, because if you go back and you read the Emmaus Road story, you will find that the hour has prolonged itself, that they were waiting, and they said that it's now time for us to eat. So they eat at a certain time, and then Jesus disappears from their midst. So by the time we're in Luke 24 in this passage, it is dinner time. And Jesus shows up. So the question I ask for us on today, what do you do when Jesus shows up unexpectedly? Hear the Gospel of Luke. I love this passage, and I love Gospel of Luke because Luke is a writer that is trying for us to understand some things about Jesus. If you like to eat, you'll love the Gospel of Luke. 19 times in the Gospel of Luke will you hear about a meal. And that meal usually involves Jesus A, telling a story about a meal, eating at a meal, or telling a story while eating at a meal about eating at a meal. So the Gospel of Luke tells this story. It has this running theme of table fellowship. And why is that? I'm glad you asked. It's because what Luke is trying to paint for his readers, for those who are listening, is that he's trying to show us that this is the way the church ought to look like. Amen. That the church ought to be like a table of fellowship where believers can come to be able to worship, where they can be able to come and dine one and all together. Amen. And I realize, table fellowships sometimes aren't always great, because not every table has the same characters. Come on in here. Y'all know y'all got Thanksgiving dinner. You go to Thanksgiving, you go there, you're going to have grandpa, you're going to have grandmama, you're going to have uncle who drink a little bit too much, you're going to have aunt who talk too much, you're going to have a cousin that lie all the time, always want to borrow money from you. Come on in here. Y'all keep it real. Y'all got the other cousin who always bring a different man every holiday. Hello, somebody. You got the other cousin who think he's a pretty papa, the one, the cool cousin that disappears at the nighttime, and all of a sudden he come back and hello, somebody. I know I'm not the only somebody in here that got some different characters. Then you got the children's table, right? And here it is, you got children who reach a certain age and say, I don't want to sit at the children's table anymore. It's time for me to move to the adult table. At every table, you got different characters. You got the mean old person. You got the one who sleeps too much. You got the one who always complains about the food but won't cook a thing. You got the person who always ready to get a to-go plate and ain't brought a thing to the table. I know I'm not the only somebody in here that's ever had different folk are at the table. And guess what? That's the way church is. Not everybody is the same. Not everybody has the same manners. Not everybody does the same thing. But guess what the Lord said? The Lord said, guess what? You're all still welcome at the table. My problem is that when we start acting like it's our table and telling folk who can't come to the table. Hello, somebody. What you mean, Reverend, is that my brothers and my sisters, the church don't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. And the Lord determines who comes to the table. The Lord determines who comes. And who did he invite? He said, whosoever. And when you invite whosoever, you got to deal with drunk uncle. You got to deal with talking bad auntie. You got to deal with them kids to keep folk from the table. Because at the table, God's got something for everybody. Oh, I ought to have some witnesses in the building who ought to be glad you came to the table on today, of knowing that the Lord has something for you that you can't get anywhere else, that you came in here today, even though you, some of y'all came as guests of honor and you got invited to the meal. Guess what? We got something for you too. If you came in here looking and you're hungry, I pray that you don't leave out the same way you came, because everybody is welcome to the table. Is an interesting one, because before we talk about this table, they're telling them about another table. They tell them, look, these two disciples come from Emmaus and said, we saw Jesus. He talked with us. He walked with us. And we didn't even know it was him. Anybody ever had that experience before? Well, you know God has been in your midst.
Oh, yes.
And you didn't even realize that he was there until all of a sudden you, like those disciples, they said, but then our hearts were burning. Oh, the way that he started opening up scriptures, did not our hearts burn? And isn't it amazing that when you know you're in the presence of the Lord, it ought to be a physiology, a physical change that goes on, that something happens to you, that your spirit feels lifted, that you feel rested, you feel like you can run over a mountain, you can do some things. Why? Because when you've been in his presence, he gives you what you need. That's the reason why you ought to be in church, is because you ought to want to be around his presence. And I understand you saying, well, Reverend, when I come to the table, I got to deal with some rude people. I got to deal with folks who want to keep me from stuff. But I come to let you know that you don't need all of those rude people. All you need is just two or three that can gather together, and he'll be a present in the midst. As long as two or three are gathering, he'll show up. And if you come in here with the mindset that you want to see him, that you need something from him, just get with one other person. Block out all the madness. Block out all the hatred. Block out all the folk who are looking at you. And just put your mind on him. And somebody know he will give you what you need. Can't worry about what you do at the table. Because you're not going to stop me from getting what I need. I'm not going to let anybody stop me from getting my blessing. I'm not going to stop anybody from letting me get fed. I'm not going to let anybody stop me from getting what God has for me. And is there anybody in here today that came with that same spirit that said, I'm going to get what the Lord has for me? I don't worry about if you're going to clap your hands. I'm not worried if you don't use your mouth. I'm going to use my mouth. I'm going to use my hand. I'm going to use my feet. Whatever I need to do to get something from the Lord, I'm going to do it on today. Hear him. Said we know it was him. Because we feel a change. And then, Mr. Fonda, watch this. I'm almost through. We knew it was him. Because he broke the bread. And the way he broke the bread, it opened up our eyes. What you trying to say, Reverend? Is that there's only certain stuff that the Lord can do. There's only certain things that the Lord can do it, and you know it's him. There's only certain things that the Lord can do. That's the reason why we got that hymn in our book that said, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Because there's only certain stuff that the Lord can do that I know is him. And can't nobody hold me like Jesus. When I'm in the midst of my storm and I seem like I want to go crazy, I want to go out and just do some stuff to myself, it's the Lord who holds me. It's the Lord. Ain't nobody can console me like Jesus. Somebody's dealing with grief right now, and I'm coming and let you know that here it is. All the words that we say, they can mean something, but it's something about when you hear it from the Lord and you have it from the Master. He has a way of being able to turn those tears of sorrow and make them into tears of joy. Instead of crying over what you lost, you thank God that they're over in glory and knowing that you got a place over there too. Instead of you worrying about it, you start forgetting and you start shouting. That's the reason why I know can't nobody do me like. He broke the bread and we knew it was Jesus. It's only certain stuff that he can do for you. My question is for y'all today, is that what has he done for you? That you can say it was nobody but him. What has he done in your life that you can be able to be a witness and say on today, I know for sure it was the Lord. If nothing else, you can say on today, he woke all of us up this morning. And nobody in here could wake yourself up. It was because he decided to wake you up. You can't wake yourself up. You can't stand over your bed and tell your eyes when they're open. Only the Lord can do a thing like that. And everybody in here knows he woke you up at a different time, woke you up in a different way. But yet alone, he still woke you up. And the thing is, after you experience the Lord, I love these disciples. They said, we got to go tell them. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, can I say that one more time? They said, the Lord has done something for us. We've been in his presence, and we've got to go tell them. And is there anybody in here like that? That when the Lord has done something for you and he's shown up in your life, you got to tell them. See, we love to tell everything else. We love to tell everybody's business. Hello? We love to talk about folk and tell folk about other people. Oh, we love to run our mouth on other things, but is there anybody in here that can say that I've got to tell somebody what the Lord has done for me? That I've got to tell somebody what the Lord has seen me through. Can I give y'all some homework? If you're struggling with your conversation, if you're struggling with what you talk about, I'm going to challenge you. This week, when you want to talk about somebody else, when you want to gossip, stop and say something about the Lord. In your mind, when you want to talk about how bad her breath is, when you want to check somebody, talk about how terrible shoes they got on, how they look unkempt, I want you to say out loud something the Lord has done for you. Why you want to do that is because we put so much negative stuff out, it's time that we replace that negativity and put positivity out. Because I truly believe that you are one who you will reap what you sow. And if you keep putting in negative, you're going to draw out negative. If you keep putting in negativity into the world, you're going to draw out negativity. But if you start putting positivity in it, if you start putting the Lord in it, somebody know the Lord will change your disposition, he'll change your conversation, and then he'll change your trajectory. Which means that he'll find a way and the Lord will bless you. Is there anybody in here that's grateful and can testify and say that if I change what I'm saying, if I change the way I think, then the Lord will bless me. He will open up windows of heaven and I won't have room enough to receive. Change your conversation. So they say, we got to tell this. They go back and tell the disciples. And I can imagine, based on how they reacted to Jesus, they didn't believe. So Jesus comes in the midst. And I love it. So it's Franklin, because he doesn't come invited. They didn't invite him. He just shows up anyway. Ooh, that's good news right there. It's because there's a lot of places you don't want Jesus to show up. There are some times you don't want him to show up. Hello, somebody. I ought to have some more witnesses in here. There's some stuff you don't want Jesus to see, but you ought to be glad that he showed up anyhow. You ought to be glad that he kept you anyhow. You ought to be glad that he blessed you anyhow. You ought to be glad that Christ came to see about you anyhow. Even though you weren't doing the right thing, thinking the right thing, saying the right thing, but the Lord still showed up anyhow. Somebody, Lord, is telling thank you, Lord, that you still showed up, even though I didn't invite you, even though I didn't want you there because I knew what I was doing was wrong, but you showed up anyhow, and you blessed me anyway. So, he shows up, and the Bible says they thought he was a ghost. Ghosts are real. I'm sorry. Even Jesus tells us ghosts are real. Read the next verse. Says, read what he says. He says, ghosts, my brothers and my sisters, they don't have hands and feet. A ghost does not have flesh and bones. So Jesus tells us, in his own way, ghosts are real. How do you know ghosts are real? Come here, witch of Endor. You go into the book of Samuel, you'll find that Saul was looking to be able to talk to Samuel. And he goes down to go see the witch of Endor, who conjures up the spirit of Samuel. So all the stuff people talking about, ghosts ain't real. Yes, they are. Yeah, they are. I'm sorry. Because there are some spirits that are not at peace. Not everybody leaves here with peace on their mind. Not everybody leaves here with their business straight. That's the reason why I tell y'all, make sure you tell folk you love them. Make sure you have your faith in Christ. Make sure that everything is well. And then make sure that you get a pastor or a preacher to make sure that they commit your remains, because it is imperative that you as a person will be at peace awaiting for Christ to resurrect you. Amen. Y'all. That's physical ghosts. That's real ghosts. But then, ghosts do something. Ghosts haunt areas. They haunt family members. Ghosts have a way, when they're not at peace, or their spirits are not at peace, they have a way of hanging out. That's a physical ghost. But let's talk about your own ghosts of your past. Because we don't just deal with Casper in them. We don't deal with just General Jackson and all of these other people who are not at rest and not at peace. But then there are other ghosts that haunt y'all. Ghosts of stuff that you have done. Ghosts of things that have been done to you. Oh, I knew it was going to get quiet on that. Because people don't like to deal with the fact that you have been affected by ghosts that have happened, things that have happened in your past. And what happened in your past has determined your present, and if you're not careful, it will follow you into the future. What you mean, Reverend? Things that have been done to you. The fact is that she stole your man 20 years ago. And so now you don't want to get close to no woman in your life because you got trust issues. Hello, somebody. Some folks in ghosts too, because they don't ever want to age. They want to stay young and still do what young folks do. They still trying to stay young, and they chasing the ghost of who they were when they were in high school. People chasing ghost relationships. Still pining away at a man or a woman who's been married and has children and gone on. Oh, yeah, I know I'm not the only one here that deals with ghosts. Ghosts become regrets. But the good thing is that there's a way you can deal with your ghosts. Is that, my brothers and my sisters, the way you deal with your ghost is that you got to look at your ghost and say, I'm moving forward. Because a ghost is somebody from the past. A ghost is something from the past. But you've got to be like the Apostle Paul to say, I press toward the mark of the high call. Oh, and what you mean you press toward, Reverend, is that if you're pressing toward, you have no time to reach back. Because if you've ever seen a race, and you've ever seen a runner when they're racing, they get the baton from the back and press forward. Because you got to understand something. If you've ever been in a race, you've ever been a 4x1 relay, you reach back, grab the baton, and you use that to help carry your momentum to where you're trying to get to and where you're going. What are you trying to say, Reverend? Use your ghost to propel you and say, I'm not going to be stuck in my past, but I'm going to take what you gave me. I'm going to take the lessons that I learned. I'm going to take all of the stuff you've done to me. And guess what? What you've done will not affect me where
a momentum. You're going to help drive me. You're going to help push me to where I need to go.
So, he said, I'm no ghost. I ain't no ghost. I'm real. You don't believe me? Look what Jesus does. And I'm gone when I show you this. Is that Jesus says, you don't believe I'm real? But watch this. Everybody gets caught up on him eating fish. But they miss the shout. Because watch this. He doesn't just stand. But the Bible says he sits down. Okay, what do you mean, brother? How you know he sits down? Watch this. The Bible says, while they still don't believe, it's because of joy and amazement. He asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. Okay, let me show you something. When Jesus ate in Luke, he never ate standing up. When he was at the table, Jesus always ate sitting down. Amen. So, what he's trying to show us, Rev, is that, watch this, y'all, is that, you see, everybody's caught up on him eating the fish. And eating the fish is amazing because it's trying to show you in totality that this isn't like some Greek thought where it's believed the separation of the soul and the body. But the beautiful thing I love about Jesus is that when he eats, he sits down. And what does that mean is that if somebody sits down, that means they're making a comfortable spot. That means that they're making their abode. That means that they have decided that they're going to stay a while. And my brothers and my sisters, that ought to be good for somebody in here to know that, yes, he's coming to dinner, but guess what? He's also coming to stay. And do I have anybody in the building on today that can be grateful and can thank God on today that when the Lord shows up and he shows up at your house, he's not just passing by, but somebody ought to say, Lord, I need you to stay. Oh, wow. Here it is, my brothers and my sisters. I had a grandmother that back in the day, my grandmother was Eddie Mae McDowell. And Eddie Mae McDowell was just like a lot of some of y'all in here. That Eddie Mae McDowell said this. She always said that when you came to a house, you had to come at least sit down for a while. And I've never understood why the old folks feel like you always got to come and stay a while or sit down at their house. I always was like, Granny, why I always got to come and sit down at your house? Even if I'm just coming by and saying something to her. She said, because I want you to know that I'm trying to treat you with hospitality, one. But then, two, I want you to stay just for a little while and just have a visit with me. And don't you know, my brothers and my sisters, that when I sat down, all of a sudden, the conversation that was 2 minutes became 20 minutes. And then 20 minutes turned to 30 minutes. And don't you know that when I left there, I left better than I was, but I decided I was going to stay a while. Come here, let me come and help you. Is that when Jesus comes in, let him stay a while. Because if he stays a while, guess what? After a while, 2 minutes become 30. 30 become 40. 40 becomes a day. A day becomes a week. A week becomes 2 months. 2 months becomes 18 years. 18 years becomes 30 years. And am I talking to anybody in the house that can give God some praise on today? That the Lord has a way of staying just a little while. And if the Lord gets in your house, won't he turn your house around? Don't I have a witness in the building that can help you close this sermon? Is it saying, Reverend, I'm glad that Jesus showed up at dinner time. But dinner turned into dessert. Dessert turned to coffee. Coffee turned to breakfast. Breakfast turned into lunch.
adore Elohai, Shilki gadol Elohai, Kol echad yire ki gadol Elohai.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.